Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the broadcast. This is yours truly, the Apostle B.W. Jones Sr., right here on the Proceeding Word. So glad, elated, literally excited to be with you on this wonderful day, the day of our Elohim. It has been a time where space and that which is within will never be the same. Your life and my life are in Him. I want to say to you right now in this hour, in this time, I was dealing with a matter not long ago, matter of fact, just recently, and I had to remember that I live only to give Him glory. And therefore, I recommend to you and anyone else that if you're out there today, just remember, repent for anything that you've done and you do or you say or you speak that is wrong and contrary to His will. Don't leave yourself open that should the rapture take place and the King comes back, you are not ready. Don't be one of the five foolish virgins. There were 10. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. We all fellowship in the same buildings and the same places. And then at the same time, we can be doing the same thing, but completely on a different page. Remember, without salvation, eternal life is not yours. Eternal life is only in salvation. So today, I'm led to lead someone out there today in prayer. Let us take the opportunity to get your heart and your mind and your soul right with Him. If you're out there, just repeat these prayers with me. Say, Yahweh, today, to reverence and acknowledge You in all of my way, I ask You, come into my heart, change my mind about the things I want to do, and allow me to see You in all that You have designed for me to be. This is my earnest prayer. Wash me in Your blood, purify me by Your Spirit, and grant me the grace of You, that I might live in righteousness and wholeness according to Your word. I believe that You raised Yeshua from the dead, and I also believe it, that I would confess it with my mouth to the world that they might know that I am found in Him. Thank you for the blood that washes me from sin. Purify my heart, mind, and soul, that I'm found in you and you alone. This is my earnest prayer. We all say amen. Well, if you repeated that prayer, the Bible declares in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Yahweh raised the person of Yeshua from the dead, you shall be and you are saved. There's no greater place on the planet than in the salvation of our Savior and King. He came that we all might be saved. He came to destroy the works of the enemy. He came that we might, listen, live in him. Interesting, because that is the conversation piece that we're going to continue to have for the next few days, remembering what it means to live in him. What does that mean, Apostle? What does it mean to live in him? Well, every day you repent of your sins, your thoughts, your ideas. Listen, one of the greatest things you and I can ever do as a believer in Messiah is to repent for our thoughts. Your thoughts, if you let them be carried out, will create and produce for you what we consider to be sin. That's right, because any thought bringing itself into fruition, manifesting, completing its ideology in the natural realm becomes what we call sin. And that type of sin is what removes us. The Bible says your iniquities have separated you and me. And this is what Yahweh says. Our iniquities begin in our mind. They begin as thoughts. And we need to learn how to make sure that those thoughts don't become, this is so important, don't become a manifested reality. I just had a lesson in that not long ago. Yep, I sure did. I've had that lesson many times in my life. And many people don't like to talk about it, but I don't always think right. Yep. Sometimes I think like VW needs to think, or he thinks he needs to think. And then I find out that my thoughts, are not like his thoughts. And therefore, my ways, because of my thoughts, are not like his ways. The Bible declares in Isaiah, as far as the heavens are from the earth, so are my thoughts, Yahweh says, from yours. And there are many times, if I don't find myself in the word, if I don't find myself in the prime time of my day reading the word of Elohim, listen, living in him, I will be in a state of mind that is contrary to him, doing mine own thing, creating mine own expressions and my own mindset. And therefore, I want you to know it is important that you live, I live in him. Yep. That's a gut check every day. Well, we're going to talk more about that today. John chapter 14, let's get into it. We've been talking about it for a few days now. And as we look into the writ, we find out that even the greatest of men who walked with Messiah himself, and more importantly, even Messiah himself, had to even live in that which was within him. He said these words in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but let thy will be done." So we're talking today about practical applications for how to live and walk out this life that we call Christendom, this life that we call being born again. I'm born again, and I love it. It is not boring. It is not fun. It is not antiquated. It is a life of everlasting bliss and rejoicing for me. So for those of you who are out there and might still be considering the fact that, oh, well, there's not much to salvation, yada, yada, whatever. This is an awesome life to live. I still get to catch and have my fun. I go to movies. I enjoy, you know, the different types of things. There's concerts available now with the breakout of even greater Christian artists, as we call them, whether it's from a jazz genre or even a pop genre or an R&B type of rhythmic flow or just the pure unadulterated gospel from Baptist, Methodist, or Kojic. We have so many different things that we can do and enjoy that are not alternatives. Not alternatives, but I'll say they are alternatives to what the secular world calls entertainment and having of fun. So I want you to know I am unashamedly born again and I love it. Ain't going to change it for none of you. Though we may fail, though we may fall, though we may falter, though we may not think right all the time, repent for your thoughts that they do not become actions. For when your thoughts become actions, it causes a problem. And this is important. So I want you to remember this. It is so important that you and I live and walk in rightness, in His righteousness. It will bring us to a place of knowing what needs to be done and how we should live and walk in Him. I'll tell you what that means. Listen, before I go to John chapter 14, James says it this way. It's James chapter 1. Just write this down. I want to read it because I don't have a whole bunch of time. But when we talk about repenting for your thoughts, your thoughts can bring a lot of problems your way if you don't really get them straight, get them handled, get them repented for. But I want you to catch this in James chapter 1, verse number 15. It goes on to indict and state. It says, verse 14, but every man is tempted when that man is drawn away of his own lust and thereby enticed. Verse 15 says, then when lust, and we're talking about making sure you repent for thoughts so that, in fact, your thoughts do not become acts of sin. Listen, verse 15, James 1:15 says, then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. I want you to remember that. So when we actually fail to repent for our thoughts, which technically are different versions of temptations, and those thoughts we know do not run the righteous path of our King, we find ourselves in what is known as sin. And though we've not done it with our hands or with our feet or even with our mouths, but we're thinking it in our head, you must be careful. Secret weapon for you people, secret weapon that the enemy does not want you to have. Repent for your thoughts immediately. If you know the thought is wrong, repent for it. I'm telling you what I know, not what I heard. I have to live through this every day myself. I have to repent for thoughts. It doesn't mean crazy thoughts, just any thought that runs contrary. That's what the Bible declares. Acknowledge Him in all your way. He will direct your path. What are we talking about? Living or having a life that is in Him. Who is Him? Him is Elohim. What is our representation of Him in the earthen realm? The person we call Yahshua HaMashiach, who is also known in the American vernacular as Jesus the Christ. When we are in Him, Paul makes this decree. He says, it's very beautiful how Paul says it. Paul says, I am crucified in Christ. I'm crucified in Messiah. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it is not I, but it is Messiah that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live it by the faith. The word faith there, of course, is faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. The life I now live, I live it by the faith of the Son of Elohim, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul again, I am crucified in Messiah. Many times we're in church, we're in fellowships, we're in world of faith, and we fail to be crucified in Him. This again is about having life in the Messiah. You can do it. Oh, yes, you can. You can have life in Him. The problem is dying out to what we thought was life. Dying out to what we thought was the epitome of joy and bliss and happiness, dying out to what we believed and we thought all of our life was some form of doing things that please us, and, well, it ain't going to hurt nobody, and we don't worry about what Elohim wants. The biggest and hardest part for us in acquiescing into the life that is in Messiah is dying to the life that we have made for our own selves while we worship Messiah. That's a huge statement, huge, enormous. Can't tell you how big that is. But you know, as we always say on the broadcast, You're going to learn today. All right, let's get into it just a little bit more. Now, John chapter 14 is where we want to head to, bringing back our conversations for the last few days concerning life in him. Who is him? Him again is Elohim. How does Elohim look to us today in this earthen realm? Through the form of one called Yeshua HaMashiach. Elohim is God the Son. God gave his only son, Elohim gave his only son, who is Adonai, to put on the form of sinful flesh, that you and I might live in him for righteousness, and that we might be able to walk according to the engineered plan of the Most High. So life in him takes us to this next piece. He goes on to say in John chapter 14, verse number 6, we've talked about this already. Yeshua says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And henceforth, you know him and you have seen him. So, we talked exclusively and pretty exhaustively on last broadcast regarding how and what Yeshua is saying to these disciples, one Peter, one Philip, and one Thomas. He's explaining and expressing to them that if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. One of them asks, well, we don't know what you mean by that. Well, I'm going away to prepare a place. Where I am, that where you may be also. And he's like, well, I don't understand what you mean. We don't know where you're going, Messiah. We don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? That's why he had to tell them. I've been with you all this time, telling you over and over again, now hear me clearly. I am. No, your radio didn't break. Your internet didn't break. The broadcast didn't stop. That pause was for effect. Because he says, I am. So when you look at this and how it's written and what it indicts, it makes it very clear that he is referencing and representing his Father, the I Am, Yahweh. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And this is what Yahweh is. That's why Abraham stated many years ago, not only is he the way, the truth, and the life, but more importantly, he is the I am that I am. So in him, we ought to want to live. In him, we ought to want to move. In him, we ought to want to have our being. And this is a significant portion of understanding how to walk as a believer in practicality. Now, I want to say, when we live in Messiah, we give Messiah opportunity to live through us. And that's where Paul's life changed. That's where Peter's life changed. That's where Philip's life changed. That's where many of the lives of the great people of our writ, the Bible, changed. Paul, I loved what he said. He says, I am now crucified. I'm dead to me. I'm crucified into Christ, into Messiah. Nevertheless, though I crucified myself to die to my flesh, yet I'm alive. And the life that I now live is not like the life I used to live. This life I now live, I live it by the faith of the Son of Elohim, who loved me and gave himself for me. Ooh-wee. What a concept. Paul is saying, I died out to my will, and I now embrace his will. Who else did that? Yeshua did that, huh? Yep, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will. I'm dying out to what I want to do, but let your will, Elohim, be done. So when we live in him, we die out to ourselves, and we move towards him. We move towards making those things that are not only relevant but necessary, true and real for us. This becomes our truth. talk more about this in him we live. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab a neighbor, friend, grab somebody to listen and let them know that the proceeding word is on the air. And we're going to come right back. Many of you are saying, well, how can I do this? I don't know how to do this. Well, yeah, you actually do. You really do know how to do this. But give us just a few seconds to get our throat wet, get our voice back, clear out the scratchiness in our throat so we can keep reading this dynamic word. Hold on. Don't go anywhere. We're right here.
Want to learn more? Need a church home? Join us every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for dynamic teachings in and through the Word. You can also join us, if you can't be here physically, on Ustream. That is the letter ustream.tv/Apostle B.W. Jones. We hope to see you then. Until we meet, Shalom.
I know I will.
Just remember, you can triumph over the enemy. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Paul said in the book of Galatians, chapter number 2, around verse, around verse 19. Well, what he says is, I am crucified in Messiah. Nevertheless, I live. Let's read that a little bit more closely. We're talking about, again, life in him, what it means to have life in him. You can do it. You can do it no matter what the circumstances are, no matter how many times you've messed up, no matter how many times you've fallen down, no matter how many times you've almost drowned. If you are still breathing today, yes, you can live in him. Make it your objective to live in him. Galatians chapter number 2 reads this very clearly in verse number 19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto Elohim, who is known as God. I am, Paul says, crucified with Messiah. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, it's not I, but it is the Messiah that now lives in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of Elohim. This same Son of Elohim put on the form of sinful flesh. We called him Yeshua HaMashiach. He loved me so much that he gave his life for me and for you, that we might live. Paul then says in verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of Elohim. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. What we must realize and understand is Paul goes on to say some very endearing things. He's speaking to some Galatians who've accepted Messiah, but now for some strange reason have turned away from all that Messiah would speak and teach. He then says to them in verse 1 of chapter 3, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Yeshua HaMashiach hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the spirit of works, or have you received the spirit of Elohim by the works of the law, or have you received the spirit of Elohim by the hearing of faith? Are we so foolish now that we have begun in the spirit, that we, having begun in the spirit, are now made perfect by our flesh? Of course not. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministers to the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed Elohim, and it was accounted for him to righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scriptures, foreseeing that Elohim would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. In thee. See, our life is in him. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, listen, to live in Messiah, to live in him, to have life in him, Yeshua in John chapter 14, verse 6 was telling you, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. the word that was presented to Abraham was not done on parchment. It was not done on stone. It was not done on tablets that were found in the ark. But they did, in fact, permeate his heart and soul. That when he heard the words of Adonai, he obeyed, meaning Abraham began to live in Adonai. Mm-hmm. And by doing so, Adonai could speak to him pretty much assuredly that Abraham would do whatever he had commanded of Abraham. We found that out when he was asked to give his only begotten son, his only son, the son he loved. He was asked to sacrifice Isaac. Let me back up on that. Abraham did not only have Isaac. He had several sons. He also had a son named Ishmael, which Ishmael and all the nations that he have come to create and produce in the earth by the blessing that was on Abraham's life were 12 other nations. And the majority of those nations, if not all of them at this point, were all, as we call, the Muslim faith. So all of those nations that Ishmael was are now in the Middle East where they are, and they are primarily Islamic because they are of Ishmael. You understand? Islamic Ishmael. And therefore, you also have, in the same respect, the children that comes from Isaac, Isaac, the one that Elohim wanted to be sacrificed. And he is the 12 tribes, the 12 nations of Israel, which serve El Elyon, Elohim. And therefore, Abraham, the Bible declares here in Galatians, had righteousness accounted to him because he believed by faith. Now, it doesn't mean he just believed God to do something. No, he heard and was sensitive enough to undeniable. And if you've ever sought his presence, you will know that there is a place that Elohim can speak to you in your own voice, and you know that it's him. This correlates with the ability to have a life in him. Some of us call it discernment. Some of us call it the gift. I don't know what that means, but okay. And so we have to recognize and understand that Abraham didn't have a Bible. We have a Bible. We have the Torah. Even Moshe didn't have it, but then he realized everybody's not going to be able to hear like I'm hearing you. And therefore Elohim gives him and tells him to write these words down so that when they hear and read these words, they'll know my voice. For my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow, but my words are my voice. And when you hear my voice, you hear my words. And my words, I'm going to help you rehearse in your psyche and into your mind and into your sight and into your hearing. And therefore, that's why it was called in the days of Israel, after the word came down from Mount Sinai, that these men, priests and heads of homes, were to wear phylacteries. These phylacteries were instruments that literally were worn on the body, adorned on the heads, that people would be reminded of the words of Elohim. And when you're reminded of the words of Elohim, you give attention to that which reminds you. Remember, they didn't have TV. They didn't have reality TV. They didn't have L&M and Oxygen and TBS and AMC and ESPN. They didn't have that. So their entertainment was different than ours, which meant their focus on things that were more serious were a bit more tuned in. So when you would look down at your phylactery, which is a leather rope or leather strapping that was connected to a box that you would put the word in, and it would remind you. Or there was a mezuzah, which you put on the door of your home. So every time you came through the door of your home, inside the mezuzah, which was planted on your door, both any exit that you had on your home, technically, primarily the front and back doors, And when you pass by it, you would recognize and or see the word, and it would quicken you and remind you that when you leave this place, you are still under this ordinance. When you come back into this place, you are still under the ordinance of Elohim. And then there was one other thing. Most of the men in that day also wore what we call the tallit, and we call them talitah, plural. But on the talitah, there are fringes. And the fringes are knotted. But along the base of that, you have the fringes. But then on each corner of the garment, there is what is known as a kanaf. It is a piece of material that is laid on the very corner of the garments. Through that cloth called the kanaf and its purpose, there was also what we call a tzitzit. It was like a particular stranding of knots that hung from this garment. So when you wore this garment on the four corners of your garment, you would look down because you would wear this out. It would almost be like a coat of sorts to many, though it is a prayer shawl. The woman that was healed for 13 years of her blood being problematic, she touched the knof, the tzitzit. She touched the wings of the tallit, which gave healing for anyone who would touch it. And this was important. Now, why was that significant? Why are we talking about living in Him? Because when you live in Messiah, you are completely engulfed in Him. And the life that you now live, you live by the faith of Him. What is faith? Faith is the word of Elohim. Moshe and Abraham did not have the word written until Moshe comes along and Yahweh tells him to write the word. But for the time before that, Moshe only heard Yahweh speak. And his inner man, Abraham, only heard Yahweh speak. They could not go back and write, or they could not go back and read the writings. Though what they heard, they began to write down. And this is significant. So when you and I are living in Messiah, and we get revelation, particularly on the Sabbath day of rest, we should write that word down. More importantly, remember this, that when you do have the word in you, upon you, and on you, it is, please catch this, it is going to come from His Torah, His Holy Written. And then it will grant you revelation and insight into your circumstances. And that's how we live, as we would say, in Him. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I know that this broadcast may seem a bit technical, but I want to make sure that we're able to live it out. Paul again makes this very clear statement. I am crucified with the Messiah. Nevertheless, now to indict that you're crucified means that you're dead. But he is very specific. I'm crucified with Messiah. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it is not I, but it is the Messiah that lives in me. Because once you die to you, Messiah takes up residence in you. When he takes up residence in you, it gives him what we know to be the ability to have free reign of your life, free reign of your person. And we all have to work on that. I know I do every day, giving him free reign to turn me and move me wherever he wants to go. Now, some days are better than others. Y'all need to recognize this. Some days are better than others for each of us. And what we mean by some days are better than others, there are other times and other scenarios that develop that when we walk out of our homes, we lay down in our beds, we go out in public, whatever it may be, our thoughts don't always mimic the imagery that Messiah prefers. And we have to make sure that whatever we are thinking, we filter it through the word so that it can be what he desires of us. That's what Paul would do. Paul says, I've died to what I want. I've died to my ways. I only want his ways. So when we live in Messiah, when we live in Elohim, we have to come through the word. Again, you've heard it 100 times. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So when you are in God, you can't be in the religion of your denomination. You have to be in the faith of him. And what is faith? Faith comes by hearing. What are we hearing? The word of Elohim. Where is the word of Elohim found? In the first five books of your Bible. So when you are in the Torah, when you are in the study of his word, the other 61 books of the Bible now make sense. People always say, I can't read the Bible, especially that King James Version. I just don't understand. No, you're not reading it rightly. You know, I found this analogy to be helpful to me early on in my life. I'm a lover of Bibles. I possess many, many Bibles. And I would try and figure out how to use one Bible over the next Bible. And the problem became that even though they were all the Bible, they had the King James Version in it, or the Message, or the TLC, or the New Life Translation, or whatever. Not New Life Translation, I'm sorry, that was that's something different. The Living Bible, whatever the translation would have been. You had to learn the system of that Bible in order to understand the author's intent for teaching you with the words of the said Bible. So if you've got a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, or you got a Spirit-Filled Bible, or you got a Dakes Connotated Bible, or you got a Holman Christian Bible, or you got a Sword Bible, or you got the KJV Bible, if you got the Apostles Bible, if you got our Bible, what is our Bible called? I forgot the name of our Bible. I really did. What is the name of our Bible? What is the name of our Bible? The devil is a liar. Wait a minute. I can't remember the name of our Bible. That Bible's name is the Restoration Bible. I was saying Redeemer Bible. No, it's called the Restoration Bible. Even when you read that Bible, you must understand every Bible has a system of how the author or the compiler wants you to begin to study and see and read the word. Thank you guys for texting me. Several of you guys text me, I know the Bible. Thank you. So the Restoration Bible, the Dakes Annotated Bible, the Holman Christian Bible, the Nelson Study Bible, the Scofield Bible, the Thompson Chain Reference Bible, the Ryrie Bible, the Amplified Bible, you know, the Sword Bible, the KJV or Bible, the Apostle Bible, or again, the Restoration Bible. You must know the system in order to identify with the author's and the compiler's intent. The same is true in core of the Bible itself. Not talking about translation, but talking about understanding the 66 books of your Bible. You cannot extract or extrapolate from this 66 books unless you first read the first five. You will get something. You will glean something. There's a system I would always admonish for young people who are new in Messiah, old people who are new in Messiah. Read the book of John first. Then go read the book of Genesis, and then read forward from there. That's my recommendation for any new person coming into the saving knowledge of Messiah, because you need to understand what it is that has to be comprehended from the writ. Now, what do I mean by that? The first five books of your Bible are the word of Elohim. The other 61 books are mirrors and references back to the first five books of the Bible. Nothing in the other 61 books of the Bible can even happen if it wasn't prophesied in the first five books. Every major miracle, every major scenario, every major issue in the book goes on to the first five books, manifests itself in the natural realm or manifest itself in the 61 books that we do call Joshua to Revelations, which incorporates the synoptic gospels, the prophets, the Psalms, the Proverbs, and all that goes along with that. So keep in mind that what Elohim does is he gives us his word first, and then he starts helping us learn how to walk it out. And that's why Yeshua came. Yeshua didn't come to destroy the Torah. He did not come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. So we need you today to begin understanding the significance of what it means and how to live in him. You can't live in him without the word. Paul made it clear. Paul made it very clear. And it was so significant in what Paul states. He says, I am crucified, I gave up all of me, and I'm now living in Messiah. I'm dead like he is dead to this world, and yet I'm alive because it is Messiah that's living in me to do and wear me as he wants work done by me. That's basically what he's saying. I mean, if you say, oh, Apostle, you can't change the Bible. I didn't change the Bible. We just helped you to see those very words in clarity. Galatians chapter number 2. So he says, I'm crucified in Messiah. Nevertheless, I live, yet it is not I, but it is Messiah that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of Elohim. I live by the Adonai, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, to the average Christian, to the average viewer, I say to you, let's in all of our getting get understanding. And let me just say this. I had a great conversation with a very dynamic individual about yesterday. We began to reference some things and started speaking. And there are oftentimes, as orators, we can find ourselves judging other ministries, and we ought not ever do that. And so today I take opportunity, among repenting for many other things, to repent to you if it has ever come across this airwave, if it has ever come across your hearing, that we have judged another ministry for how they have produced and or purported the word, if we have made it appear that we are the only ones on the planet who have the word and you shouldn't go nowhere else but come here and listen to us. Of course, many of y'all know me. We don't believe in that. But if it's ever come across that way, I'd like to repent to you all now. My only objective and my only intent is to teach the gospel and the pureness of it, to teach the Torah, accuracy, and intent of it. And it all points back to the Old and the New Testament. It all points back to the first five books of the entire Bible. And so if we've ever come off as saying we're some elitist group and we're deeper than the next person, we repent for that now. And we will work more diligently at making sure that we work and strive for unity in the body, not division by talking down about or talking against another ministry. Now, I reserve the right that if there is a doctrine being pushed forth that is completely counterproductive to the will and intent of the writ, and I've reached out to that entity and they refuse to talk with me, even then we don't blast them on the air, but we talk about those things that are biblical and that can prove or disprove the theory and or the doctrine. And if we, by some weird chance and change and circumstance, have given you the impression that we think we know it all, we want you to know that we know nothing more than what this Bible says, and we are still trying to acquire it all. So we hope that that lets you know that even some of us who may be a bit more skilled can still find themselves in a situation that requires repentance. And this is what I mean by making sure you repent every day. That is, again, a part of living in him. Being able to repent for the thing that you feel justified you can do, you feel you can say, you feel you can actually demonstrate. But the question is, should you? And then if you're found out to have been in error, will you repent for the error or try to justify yourself? So I had a conversation yesterday with someone so dear and close to me, and we were talking about some things, and it came up. And I said, well, if we've ever done that, we want to make sure that we correct that ASAP. In him, you will always do, and you will always try to be able to speak the words so that even a child can understand it. And if you're not doing that, then you're not living in him, because his children need to know and hear that word as much as your beloved parishioner who gives you major tithing and or gifts for holidays and all that stuff. It is the children we need to be reaching today. We need them to be in him before they get as old as we are, and by then use up most of the influential time of their life without promoting the Messiah. So we need to help change that for the world. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, we want to be sure that we are living in him. Now, we've got about 5 minutes on the broadcast, and we're going to come right back after we give you a very quick station identification break.
Like your social media? So do we. We're there too. Join us. Go to my website, bwjministries.com. Find out where we are in your social media sphere.
Want to learn more? Need a church home? Join us every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for dynamic teachings in and through the Word. You can also join us, if you can't be here physically, on Ustream. That is the letter ustream.tv/Apostle B.W. Jones. We hope to see you then. Until we meet, Shalom.
Well, we're back with you yet again. Hope you'll take those announcements into consideration. And those of you that are in Tennessee, those of you that are with us in Los Angeles, Las Vegas, as well as those of you that are with us in Maryland and Virginia and New Jersey and Pennsylvania and New York and the islands of the Caribbean and Sri Lanka and Ghana and Accra, we're so glad to have you with us. Japan, our friends in China, we love you so very much. And we're asking you to continue to pray with this ministry. And for this ministry, that we're able to carry this gospel in its accuracy and its intent of the Father and not our preferences, denomination, or fellowship. Now, that having been said, keep in mind that Elohim wants us to live in him. What was Yeshua really saying when he told us, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Because when we understand that, he is saying, I need you to be in me. In order for you to get life, you have to drink of me. You have to drink in my moment who I am. And that was a significant statement and contribution. Remember to live in him. Remember to do only those things that will please him and bring him glory. When you live in him, he lives, listen, in you. And when he's inside of you, he knows every struggle you're going to contend with and feel, and he begins to work towards that end. This is salvation. This, living in him, is how we remain safe through him. Paul is so clear. In him, I'm crucified. Nevertheless, I am alive. Yet it's not me and my will set that's alive and living, but it is the Messiah that's living in me, creating for me new pathways. And the life that I live now in this flesh suit, I only live it by the faith of the Son of Elohim, who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, I want you all to remember that. Next broadcast we're going to be coming up on, it's going to be Sabbath time. It will only be a few days away. So those of you that are out there in Tennessee and those that are in those staff meetings, we need to get those announcements up for Shavuot on the sites. But we want you, people of the Most High, go to our websites to get the dates for Shavuot, which is going to be May the 23rd at sundown. But we will be holding service, not the 23rd at sundown, since that Sabbath day goes from the 23rd at sundown to the 24th at sundown. On Sunday, the 24th at 10:15 a.m., we will be having our services right there at 3155 South John Young Parkway in the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida. We call it Pentecost Sunday. They do. They call it that. But it is known to me as Shavuot because it doesn't always appear on a Sunday. Today, this year, is very unique for a myriad of reasons. So I want you to join us and enjoy the feast. Go to our website, Apostle. Go to our website, BWJ Ministries, and be blessed. Get information on how you can remain in touch and connected with us and also become a partner with us. We'd love to talk with you soon, hoping to hear from you.
The Bible declares, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some is." We therefore ask you now, do you have a church home? Are you in proper fellowship at a home of worship that explains and expresses the Word of God with clarity? We want to invite you to come today. Join us at 3155 South John Young Parkway right here in the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida. Every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Wednesday night. Listen, if you're in the city, we'd like for you to join us. We want to make you our VIP this next service. Join us. Become a part of a team and a ministry that is growing in grace through the knowledge of properly applied word and thereby growing you into new faith of why you exist on the earth. Until we get opportunity to meet again, you are already a king and a queen. Therefore, we say to you, Shalom.